appreciation for your being here. Always good to get together, we say, and we say that sincerely. So enjoy the friendship, the fellowship, but also the opportunity to give our worship to God as a congregation. Now, Jim mentioned several folks that are absent in his prayer, and then Rex mentioned some others that I was even thinking about. I was missing Wes this morning, Janelle, and he mentioned Jen and Jonathan and Josephine. So, wow, I think they're almost more absent than are here this morning. So certainly look out for one another. Let folks know we miss them when they're away. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along as we go through the lesson. We're going to note this morning the seven beatitudes or the blessings in the Revelation letter. The word beatitude or blessing, it means happy, or to designate by definition the moral and spiritual virtues taught by Jesus. If we use the word beatitude, or some people translate it the beautifuls. Yeah. So Jesus mentions some of these that are, blessed are. Yeah. It's over 150 beatitudes or blessings in the Psalms. So they're rather abundant. There's 9 mentioned by Jesus. I meant to put in your notes in Matthew chapter 5. There's an added one that Jesus gives in Acts 20, verse 35, where Paul said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said is more blessed to give than to receive." But that's not mentioned in the Gospels. But it's one that Jesus said. So now we look at 7 that are mentioned in the Revelation letter. Number 1, Revelation 1, verse 3. "Blessed," or beautiful, or beatitude, "is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy," but all the third thing, "and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand." If you want the blessing that he gives, there's 3 requirements. Reading, and that's good, but don't stop there. Hear the word of God, that's a good thing too, but don't stop there. The third thing is, "and keep the things that are written therein." James 1 verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only." Some people just want to read and hear. They don't want to keep and do. They just said, "I got a good feeling from that reading." Yeah, you might have. Or, "I just have a good feeling from listening to the Word of God being read, or for Brian's preaching." Oh, that's good. I feel good after that. But, we want to hear. Now, I've had some pretty good reading and hearing moments. But the added blessing is to keep the things that are written therein. So I think the message is, don't be deceived by thinking that reading and hearing is sufficient. But yet some people are satisfied with that. "Oh, I read my Bible." That's good. Don't stop. "Oh, I've listened to the Bible on CD." That's good. "I've heard the Bible being read over and over again." Yeah, but how about keeping the things that are written therein? There's the blessing. The blessing. People listen to religious broadcasts. Fine. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 23, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is," and that's not a compliment. That there's a custom or the manner of some to absent themselves on purpose or deliberately from the assembly. Jesus says, keep the things that are written therein. Number 2, for a blessing or a beautiful, chapter 14, verse 13. "Heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow after them." One key phrase in that verse, and of course all the verse is good, One key phrase is, who die in the Lord. Now we know what one day we'll die. There's an unavoidable appointment. Just as there is this time of year. Taxes. Some things we can't avoid. The old expression, death and taxes. But if you miss out on taxes, there's a recovery, but you can't miss out on death. It's an appointment. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's an appointed unto man once to die once. And after that, the judgment. But the question we need to be asking is, how do I get in the Lord for the blessing of when I die? Well, Paul answers the question in Galatians 3, verse 27. It says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, or are clothed with Christ. So if I'm going to die in the Lord, I need to be in the Lord, having been baptized. That's sensible. It's a logical conclusion. Nobody ever died in the Lord that was not in the Lord before they died. That's rational. The added admonition, even in Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful till death. We know we're going to die. But then the blessing, you receive the crown of life. To die in the Lord means that you have lived in the Lord. I can understand that. Number 3 is in chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed, here it is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The blessing has two requirements this time, doesn't it? Three in that first one. Read, hear, and keep. But now we have watch and keep again. Keep your garments. If you're going to watch, well, I know what watching is, and you do too. But when we watch in our Christianity or in our Christian living, I mean, we want to be on the lookout for those things that would cause us to stumble or that would take us away from right living. If I'm going to watch, I'm going to be alert. I'm going to give some attention to my relationship to God. If I'm going to watch, means I'm going to stand guard. I'm going to be on guard duty. I'm going to look out. I'm going to be vigilant. And if you're on guard duty, you need to be awake. I hope. Keep close observation. There's a blessing in doing that. Blessed is he that watches. Take a look. I want to be ready for the Lord's return. That's what he says here. Behold, I come as a thief, so watch. Look, be ready for the second coming. I don't know when the return will take place. It says, I come as a thief. And then the next one is, keep his garments. Jesus is not giving a lesson on laundry. Keep your garments. It means to keep your life clean in similar fashion as you keep your clothes clean. I hope you do that. We see our clothes get dirty and they go in the dirty clothes basket or the pile on the floor in my case. They get ready for laundry. Yep. But it means a continue and often repeated process. Keep your garment. Keep your life in clean living. Over and over again. If it gets dirty, clean it up. And repent and pray. In Revelation 3, verse 4, and Jesus is writing to the churches, there's a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. That walk with me. Yeah, Jesus. That's right. begins when we're baptized, our sins are washed away, and now we must keep our life clean by watching and right living to get the blessing. Even our baptism by itself is not sufficient. There's something to follow. I want to watch and keep my garment, keep my life. Number four, and by the way, all of these are necessary. You don't want to just pick and choose a blessing. But if you choose three out of the seven, you miss out on four. Is that right? My math right? So don't think, oh, I'll take this, I'll choose this one, but oh, the others can go by the wayside. No, no, no. There's a blessing in the one that reads and hears and keeps. But number four, chapter 19, verse 9. He said to me, write. Pencil this in. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. You know, I've missed out on weddings in my lifetime. Of course, some of them that I missed out on, I didn't get invited to. So I didn't go. There's others that I got an invitation to, but they put that RSVP. This is, I'm supposed to respond and tell them I won't be there. That's happened. And there's been some that I even said, I'll be there, and then something came up, an illness or whatever, and I said, at the last minute, sorry, I can't be there. But this one, I don't want to miss out on. There's a blessing, he says, if you're called to this marriage supper. It's an invitation, interesting, for those who have accepted the first invitation, meaning to become a member of the New Testament church, the bride of Christ, Christians. If we've accepted that invitation, we get an invitation to come to this grand final marriage supper of the Lamb. And I don't want to be satisfied just to go to the pre-wedding shower. I want to attend the wedding. In verses 7 and 8, the verses that precede this verse 9, he said, let's be glad and rejoice. Oh, I'm glad I got an invitation. All right. Be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Oh, the time is ready. His wife has made herself ready. Oh, remember the last blessing? Keep your garments. We've made ourselves ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Ah, be glad and rejoice. See, those who are called to the marriage supper are those who prepared themselves by becoming Christians and keeping their garments clean and right living. Don't miss this marriage supper. Don't refuse that first invitation to become a Christian. And you have an invitation. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The invitation is for all. It's worldwide. God doesn't want to leave anybody out. God doesn't desire that any should perish, according to 1 Peter chapter 3. No, God wants everyone in. Right? But you have to accept that first invitation. You have to obey that gospel message. You have to respond. Hand up. RSVP. I'm in there. I want to go. Count me in. And then if you keep your garments clean, as these others the other Beatitudes have said, you'll receive this blessed invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. When he says all things are ready, come on. Number five, chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On or of such, the second death has no power.
Well, that's good.
First resurrection. There's no other reference or meaning than your baptism. And interesting, if there's a first resurrection, there has to be a second, doesn't that follow? If there's a first resurrection, there should be a second. The second resurrection would be defined this way by Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 28. It says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." Well, there's going to be a resurrection. Who's going to be resurrected? Those who have died, who had part in that appointed death. And so now there's going to be another resurrection. All shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Those that have done evil to the resurrection of death. One resurrection, but the consequences are different based upon how you lived. And if you kept your garments clean. See? Now we already talked about the first death. That's appointed. That's physical death. But if there's, if you've had a part in that first resurrection, meaning becoming a Christian by being baptized, the second death has no power. That second death is defined by Jesus. What's the second death? Revelation 20, verse 13. "Death and Hades," or hell, "were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Second death is eternal torment. It's an eternal separation from God. I don't want to experience that. I can't get out of the first death. But I can avoid the second death by taking part in the first resurrection. And then the revelation continues in Revelation 20, verse 15. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Second death. I'll make it simple. If you're only born once, let me put it on this side. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You'll die once that's appointed, and then you'll die in a second death because you never accepted the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But if you're born twice, physically, that's everybody here. Well, we've already done that one. But if we're born again by being baptized, a likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6, you only die once. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. I can understand that. And there's a blessing in being born twice. Die once. I want to be sure I have my part in that first resurrection by obeying the gospel and being baptized. The last two are similar. Number 6 in chapter 22 and verse 7. "Behold, I come quickly." Ooh, suddenly is the idea too in that. "Blessed," oh, here's the beautiful. "Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Well, that was the first blessing too. He repeats it. Let's put some emphasis on that. Because again, some people are satisfied with just reading and hearing. So he adds this blessing again. Let me emphasize that third point of blessing number one. "And keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." He that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Repeated reminder. It's intended to encourage us to keep our garments clean, or to keep the things that are written. Be faithful unto death. Obey the word exactly. Or whatever other synonymous phrase or word you can use. It's meant to encourage. You know, sometimes we repeat it over and over again. Let's do that. Come on, you can do it. As the coach would to a team. Keep going. Do it more. That's what he's doing. He's giving us an attaboy. Come on, you can do it. In John 8, verse 30, it says, "Jesus spake these words. Many believed on him." Well, that's a good thing. That's good. They believed. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Some people, "Oh, I am a believer. God, I know you're up there. And then they, thanks, go their way. Jesus turns to those Jews who already believed on him. They believed the things that he said. That's what the text reveals. You'd think he would give them some applause. Way to go, multitude. Yay for you, you believe. But if you want to be my disciples, you have to continue in my word. Keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Keep it. Don't be satisfied with mere belief or just your faith. Oh, God ought to be satisfied with that. You're telling God what he should be satisfied with. The last one, same thing. You always want to say, Jesus, we've heard this before. He says, yes, I know, but you haven't done it. I need to say it again. Chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Some of the other translations says, wash their robes. It means the same thing. Do right and live clean. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, I want that. There's a blessing, and he specifically mentions the blessing this time. You have a right to the tree of life. Enter in. You'll hear the well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Enter in. Ah, the marriage supper. Come on in. Blessed are they that do his commandments. If I haven't done his commandments, I'd be terrified. If I wasn't living rightly, I'd tremble. I'd be afraid. Throughout the Revelation letter, there's been emphasis on doing it God's way. No alteration. No adding to the word. No taking away from the word. And so at the closing of this letter, there's a blessing on they that do his commandments, and it's listed three times. One here in verse 7, another in verse 14, and in verses 18 and 19. Three times in the closing chapter. Do what I say. There's some importance to that. So if we want the blessings, and I'm sure we do, we'll have to do it God's way. These are called the beautifuls or the beatitudes, the happies. But we only reach that consequence if we do it God's way. So that's the lesson this morning. The beatitudes, the beautifuls, the blessings, the happies. Defined by Jesus. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to that. The invitation is extended to all. And when you accept that first invitation, you receive a second invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's what we've emphasized in our lesson this morning. So that's why at the close of a lesson, you know, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. We're pleading and praying. Once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. You can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sins. Hope you have a hope of heaven within. Other blessings. That one action. And then we grow. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, just have a seat beside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask you.